If you already haven't, grab your message notes. And I just want to tell you how stirred, and if we could have the house lights up just a little bit, gang, I'd appreciate it. And I always like to see who I'm talking to. All right, there we go. And I've just been stirred so much in my spirit. And the word I would use for me, I'm not really a one-word guy coming into gear, and I appreciate people that do that, but I just have been so stirred. And that stirring is, let me tell you what it is, it's an expectancy for this year. I don't know about you, but I'm believing that 2018 is not just going to be a greater year, and I want it to be a great year, but I want all that God has for me this year, and I don't want to leave any of the benefits, any of the promises that he has on the table. I want it all. Amen? And you may have heard me use this analogy before, and I'm going to use it again. My kids and I love to wrestle at home. And we get after it. We wrestle, especially them boys. And Ashton will jump in. She likes to just kind of wrestle with us a little bit. But we have a saying. And I tell the kids, man, if you want some, come get some. And now they do it to each other. And so I'm just telling you, if you want some of all, not just some, but all that God has, you got to come get you some. Come on, everybody say, you want some. Come get some. Oh, yeah, that's, you can tweet that. That's good. I could just shut the message down right there. All right. Joel chapter 2, we're going to get in the message. And this whole series, my greatest year, it can be your greatest year if. I think there's a few things that I'm hopeful and I believe that God wants for us to follow through and do this year, maybe like never before. Maybe the last few years have been a struggle. Maybe you've noticed repetitive cycles that continue to happen. How about this year be the year of freedom? How about this year be the year that truly doesn't just look different, but is different? How about this year be the year that, man, that promise, that miracle that you've been believing for happens? How about this year? And how about not years from now? How about we start locking in and getting close as we can to Jesus and watch miracles in the supernatural take place? I don't know about you, but man, that's just where I'm at. My expectancy, I'm stirred, if you can't tell. And so, says this, Joel chapter 2, getting us going here today. If we're going to have a great year, it's going to be because we are staying close. We are staying connected to God. It says, that's why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. It's important to know that. Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12, says, Satan has come down with great wrath, knowing that his time is short. So if Satan has a short time, we've got a short time to deliver and proclaim the truth of God. So the time is short. Everybody say the time is short. And God says, give me your hearts. Give me your heart. Notice he doesn't want anything else, because if he has your heart, he has your life. Come with fasting, weeping, mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts. Let there be a breaking in your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful. Come on, he's compassionate, slow to get angry. How many are thankful for that? He's filled with unfailing love. I believe if you're going to have a heart change and you want to see some things change, it's going to be because you first change your habits this year. I think in order to be able to see and do what God has for us, we've got to make some changes and not just have lip service. I think we can talk about how we want to accomplish great things. You know, they say resolutions, only 10% of them by February actually are still in motion in the lives of people. So that means 90% have already failed by February. But here's the reason why I believe that is because a lot of times when we do our resolutions, our goals, we do them without inviting God's presence in them. So if you want to quit smoking cigarettes, maybe that's your thing. Maybe you want to lose weight, whatever it is. Involve God. He wants to be involved in every detail of your life. Y'all with me this morning? And so he wants to be involved in every equation of your life. That's why 2018 can be the greatest year of your life if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. And so it's up to you to make those decisions. And so I just really want to kind of begin today asking some questions. Have you ever wondered why maybe your prayers sometime have gone unanswered? Anybody ever felt that? Ever felt like, man, why hasn't that breakthrough happened? And if you're like me, you've thought, man, is it something I'm doing, not doing, something I'm doing wrong? Have you ever thought about that? So I want to try to help answer that a little bit today and to get us on track for a brand new year. And I'll be honest with you, the message I was going to preach isn't the message I'm preaching. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Your notes are right, just so you know. But I had every intention in preaching a different message, and the Holy Spirit pushed that back to next week. So we got a different message today, so I think it's okay. Amen? And Matthew 17, it says this. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. I said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures. He's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples. Notice this, but they could not heal him. I want you to notice that because Jesus empowered his disciples to lay hands on the sick and they recover. And it didn't happen. All right, so I want you to just notice that. Then Jesus responds because of that. Here's his answer as to why that didn't happen. He said, you're unbelieving and you're a perverse generation. Thanks for the encouragement, Jesus. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. So there's two problems here that Jesus identifies. I want you to get this. First of all, that they were unbelieving and perverse. And Jesus identifies a problem that I really believe exists today amongst us, that we can be unbelieving and perverse. Anything in me? Yes, you. And yes, me. And unbelieving just simply means this. It means that we're not connected to God. That at some point, we've become a doubter. At some point, we're not connected. And so what it is it's a connection issue. And we've got to improve the connection. Because if we would seek God more and pray more, it's going to help solve the connection issue. Are you with me? And so, and it's going to help solve the problem of unbelief. I would encourage you, even in this year, we're going to talk about our 21 days of prayer and fasting. It starts today. Is get in the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, the one-year Bible. Every year I do it. It's just been a conviction in my life to keep it and rolling and keep the word in me. And so you can friend me on there. I'm on there. Grab your cell phone. Do it now while you're thinking about it. I don't care. All right? And just get the word in you and let it be a part of your daily bread. Amen? And then perverse just means this, that we're too connected to the world. So unbelieving is that we're not connected to God. Perverseness is that we are too connected to the world. So you're not connected to God, but you may have also gotten involved in maybe some things that have polluted your relationship. Maybe you've dabbled in some things that you shouldn't, and it's affecting your relationship with the Lord. So we're not connected, and we're too connected to the world. And I think it's true of us all the time, that we're not connected to God enough. And I would encourage you so much to ask the Holy Spirit. And this is not something for me to expose or try to point out to you today. But ask God, Lord, is there a place where I'm not connected enough to you? Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction, not condemnation. Condemnation comes from the enemy, tell you how bad you are, how much, and try to put guilt on you. Where conviction, God wants to help you move from the problem to the answer. Are you with me? And he'll speak to you. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He's really good at this. He'll point out some things. I don't know about you. Every time I go to prayer, he'll always point out the things I need to deal with before I can really get any further in prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And if you don't, that's what happens. And then ask God this question. Lord, is there some things I've dabbled too much in of the world? Maybe it's things that you've watched, looked at, things that you've listened to, that it's polluting. It's both unbelieving and perverse. And I just think if you ever get to the place where you feel like you're missing something, I think it always falls back to these two things, that we're unbelieving and perverse. And so Jesus, of course, doesn't just give us a problem and identify those problems, but he also gives us the solution. So the Bible says this in Matthew 17. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, hey, Jesus, like what happened? Like we thought we had your spirit and power, but we couldn't do it. We couldn't heal him. How many want to know what the answer is, right? So he said, you're perverse, you're unbelieving. And Jesus went on to say, because you have so little faith. And truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except two things. Everybody shout prayer. Okay, that was weak. Let's try it again. Everybody shout prayer.
Prayer.
There we go. And everybody shout fasting.
Fasting.
So he gives us the two problems, and he gives us the two solutions to those problems. That's through prayer and fasting. So if we're unbelieving and perverse, this is what solves it, prayer and fasting. Here's what prayer does. Prayer connects us to God. And I really think what's important about this message today is to really help us to get an understanding of maybe why we've been where we've been. And for some of us, if we have felt the disconnect, how to get connected again. So prayer connects us to God. It's that intimacy, that relationship that only comes by talking with him, just like I'm talking to you, is how we communicate to God. Are you with me? And so, and I think about the importance of that. Like, I've just been in a place where I love to spend time in the presence of God. In times that I'm not maybe as consistent, or the times I feel overwhelmed, times I feel frustrated, upset, mad, all those things, but prayer has the ability, man, to bring me back together again. And I love prayer because sometimes I don't talk, I just listen. Sometimes I don't even just listen, I just worship. And I try to listen in the midst. But if you're like me, man, it's you've got to be intentional about those times, but sometimes it's just sitting in his presence. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. Can I tell you, you're in the presence of God this morning? You're in his presence. He's here. And there's something about when God's people comes together, man, that God can do anything. The presence of God is not a place to bypass your emotions. It's a place to process them. Yeah, I think about some of it. David said in Psalm 142, he said that Lord, I put before you my complaint, and I tell you about my trouble. That it's a place in his presence, and only in his presence can I have sanity in my mind again, that I can process what's going on. I often hear people, when they talk to me about prayer sometimes, they say, man, I'm praying for so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And I said, that's great. Are you praying for you? I said, well, I think that's selfish, Pastor. I said, no, because if nobody else is praying for you, who's praying for you? So pray. And pray for yourself, and pray that you would grow this year. Pray that you would grow closer, and that you would can the excuses and get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Because the more time that you spend with God, the greater your faith will become. And why is that? In other words, the more that you are familiar with something, the stronger you will become in that thing. And that's why I believe we've got to give time. That's why I love 21 days of prayer and fasting, is because we're giving time to God. We're just kind of slowing down the schedule, slowing down, getting real intentional about our time with him, because hurry is the death of a prayer. And oftentimes we are so in such a high, fast-paced culture that we're constantly in this hurry, in this busyness, when God wants you and I to just slow down and hear from him. What if over the next 21 days, something that you have been believing for, if you would just slow down, you would hear it? What if what God wants to do, what if, could be in this 21 days and come out of this fasting? I've never participated in a fast that God has not done something in my life afterwards. He's always done something powerful. But the less time that you spend with something, the less confidence you will have. That's why we spend so much time in prayer. It's not that God has this checklist and he's checking, okay, how many minutes did it pray today? Okay, how many hours? It's not religious. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. And God wants you to spend quality time with him. Are you with me? And so the more, I'd say it this way, the more time I spend with my staff and my team, even here at the church, and working on services, the more confidence I have in them and in what we are doing. And the more I'm getting to know them and knowing what we're trying to execute, because time together produces a confidence and it rises. And the same is true with my relationship with Bethany. The same is true with my relationship with my kids. Spending time with whatever thing produces confidence in that area. Every one of us, I believe, can improve our prayer life. How many could say, yeah? I think every one of us could take a step this year like never before. And man, there's times that I've hit tough seasons or, where I've gotten distracted. How many have ever gotten distracted? And you just kind of have to realign yourself. It's like driving a car, you hit a curb and it gets out of alignment. You got to go get it aligned again. If not, it's going to be, you know what I'm talking about? And it just goes all over the road, all over the place. But man, when you come back into getting alignment, how many know you're refocused? Your car's refocused. You get refocused in the place of your spirituality with God. Amen? So here's what fasting does. Fasting disconnects us from the world. It's one of the least known disciplines, I think, in the church today. That fasting, and I grew up in church thinking that fasting was me suffering. Man, God's just wanting to punish me. Can't eat that steak for 21 days, or can't have that sweet tea, or whatever. Fasting is not punishing you, all right? Because Jesus does not want you to suffer, all right? He wants to simply have you and I disconnect from the world. I think this is what fasting, I'll say this is a personal thing for me. I'll give you that fasting always reveals to me what controls me, but reminds me what sustains me. I'm going to say it again. Fasting reveals what controls you and reveals and reminds what sustains you. So every time that you and I involve ourselves in more worldly things, we lose our dominion in this world. The same is true if we go back to the story of Adam and Eve. They lost their dominion as they fed their own appetite. They took a bite from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They satisfied their own appetites and lost their dominion. And I would just say, man, if you want your dominion back, you've got to push those things away sometimes. And when you fast, I'm telling you, strength's going to come back again. Authority's going to come back again. Come on, dominion's going to come back again. It's powerful. And that's why prayer and fasting is one of the pillars of this church. This church was founded with prayer and fasting. Always has, always will be. And I think it's always important that we continue to teach it and help us to get as close to Jesus as we can. You know, God spoke to me at 9 years of age to plant a church. But it came through a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting. It just wasn't, ooh, here we go. You know, just an idea popped up, thought this is good. And I'll tell you this, and Bethany will tell you this, months, year out or so before we ever moved, that's all I did, man, was fasting. Why? Because I'm telling you, and this is why during January, every January, I just shut things down. I've had invites to go preach at places this month. God's been doing some cool things, opening up some doors. It's great. And I just politely have told some of those churches no, because once a year, I'm going to shut it all down. And here's why. Because I'm desperate to hear the voice of God. And good opportunities. But just because something seems like a good opportunity doesn't always mean it's a God opportunity either. And I know those are good opportunities, but God for me in January is being with you. God for me in January is being in a place of prayer and fasting and getting a hold of God. Why? Because I'm desperate. I'm desperate for 2018 to be much, much different than 2017. So I've got to start making some different decisions if it's going to be different. I'm not going to just continue to roll on, because I'm not satisfied. Am I talking to anybody this morning, man, that says I'm desperate? I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want more of God. I want more of his power, more of his strength. Anybody in the house that I'm talking to today? And I'm desperate to hear his voice. I've been telling God all week, it's fast. It's just not another fast for me, God. I'm desperate. I want to hear your voice for my life. I want to hear your direction and leading for our church, because I want to see our church and our families go and do greater things for God, so that our kids continue to grow up in the conviction of the Holy Spirit and to know God at a young age, to go and do incredible things for the kingdom of God in their schools. Why can't your kids make an impact in kindergarten and first and second and third and fourth and fifth and so on, and junior high and high school? Why not it be your kids? Parents, I'm challenging you this year. Let it be a year that's different for you and your household, that you get them involved. I'm going to push on parents a little bit more this year. I'm telling you, one of the greatest things is keeping them in the environments of the house of God. So, women, that's just old-fashioned. Nope, that's health. shouldn't be a consequence for them not to go to church or student ministry. That's where they need to be, to help and to grow them. They need godly friends. They need to hear godly preaching and counseling and small groups. And I'm just telling you, we've got to get our eyes off of what the world's doing and keep our eyes on what God's doing. The world's way is jacked up. It's been messing up people for decades. We've got to continue to get back to what God's doing. Amen, everybody? Man, I love you. I love you. And I want to see your families grow and move farther in the things of God. And I'm just convinced this is one of the most important things we will ever do as a church, and that's prayer and fasting. And I just believed, and I made that decision, and we did this when we started the church. I had some pushback and said, man, maybe wait to introduce that. And I said, no. This is what this church is built on, is prayer. And we're always going to be about it. And I just believed if we would connect God more in the place of prayer and disconnect from the world, that we will have a powerful church to do things beyond our own ability. And so I'm inviting you over the next 21 days to go on this journey with me of prayer and fasting. Go ahead and put that up, guys. And inside your worship guide, every single one of you got one of these. And it's a card, and on the back it just gives you the information. Monday starting tomorrow, 6 to 7 a.m. at the church offices, there'll be prayer. We'll have one of our team, one of our leaders from our team, they'll be leading every day. That'll help. I'll be part of that as well. And I would encourage you, man, if you struggle with prayer, you got to get around people that are praying. Like, if this is a struggle, then you've got to, prayer is more caught than taught sometimes. And so catch it. Catch the spirit of prayer. Grow closer to God. Say, man, you guys are crazy. You better believe it. We desperate. Desperate. I know 6 a.m. to 7 is not probably popular, but I'm desperate. I'm not interested in 2018 continuing to be the story as it's been the last 5-10 years of my life. I'm desperate for his power, so I'm going to start living different, start doing some stuff that's different, baby. I'm going to get a hold of God with everything within me. Desperate. And so, and then on Saturdays, can I just tell you, yesterday's prayer Saturday morning was through the roof. I don't know, 40-some people or so here. It blew me away. But it's not your grandma's prayer meeting. Like, and I appreciate my grandma's prayer meetings. Trust me, I'm a byproduct of those prayers. Thank you, Jesus. But, man, it's a special time. I met with somebody this week. I told him, Saturday prayer is where you need to be. Get involved in this 21 days of prayer fasting. Maybe you want to get closer to God? I'm telling you. And so I was just encouraging you. Maybe you can only make it a couple days at the office. And there's the address. We're right next to Walgreens, if you've never been. The green awning's there. Can't miss it. Remember, look for green awnings. But we're literally right next to the Walgreens is where our office space is at. And we're just prepared, man. We're already prepared to start this tomorrow. Excited for it. And then Saturday morning prayer. If we do that every week, 9 a.m. to 10. We start on time, we end on time, and we pray for all the needs there. And I would encourage you, man, join us. I invite you on this journey with us. It's going to be powerful. Amen? And so God is moving, and we're just, the level of expectancy, you guys, is through the roof. Miracles through this church, reaching more people for Jesus, the unchurched, the restless, that's what we're about. We've got too many in our church. We've got tens of thousands of people. I met with a pastor the other week. We both looked at each other almost simultaneously and said, we've got to keep reaching. Tens of thousands, literally hundreds, actually, of thousands of people in Fort Wayne that don't know Jesus and aren't in church. You better believe Elevate City is going to be a part of the answer. And there's other churches as well, and we thank God for that. Matthew 9, Jesus endorses fasting. He said, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn when he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom, Jesus, is going to be taken. He's going to ascend to heaven. Then they will fast. So Jesus said, when I ascend, I want this principle to still be in effect. I want you fasting. I want you seeking me. Acts 13, it's a powerful example of the church and fasting. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. One of the cool things about the Church of Acts is everything they did, they bathed in prayer and fasting. That's why in every decision you make needs to be in prayer and sometimes fasting. Absolutely. Any big decisions we make as a church is always followed with prayer and fasting. And then Paul endorsed it in 2 Corinthians 11. Said, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often. So how does it work? We got to remember the problem. We're unbelieving and we're perverse. And we need help. Amen? We're too connected to the world and we're not connected enough to God. So remember, it's a connection issue. How many of you ever got frustrated when you've lost connection with your cell phone? My God. I've never seen more people get in the flesh than when I see them lose connection. Woo! It's a test, isn't it? But I get that test too, everybody, all right? And I don't always pass, but I think I do. And it's hard. It's frustrating. And it's frustrating trying to do this life without God. It's frustrating when you're not hearing. So that's why God's saying, I want you just to shut it down. So much noise going around. Let's shut it down for a little bit. But it's a connection problem. You're a triune being. You're the only part of God's creation that was made with three parts, spirit, soul, and body. When you look at God's creation, the trees has one part, just has a body. How many know the trees don't talk? All right. All right. Trees don't talk, just a body. You with me, everybody? Animals, all right, they have two parts. They have a body. They have a soul. Tail goes up, tail goes down. All right? I get people ask me all the time, will my pet be in heaven? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I believe all dogs do, but I don't think cats get there. So. I'm going to keep moving. And don't send me emails because I'm not going to read it either. Can't believe he said that about my cat. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together. That's how he puts you together, spirit, soul, and body. Look at this. And keep you fit. How many know it's important to stay physically fit, but you better stay spiritually fit? For the coming of our Master Jesus Christ, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. So here's what this means. I wanted to just quickly break this down. Here's what the body, what that means. Body is that we connect to ourselves. In other words, body keeps you self-conscious, that you're self-connected. It's I feel the pain, I have the appetites, I have the lusts. Body has all these things. And if your body is calling the shots in your life, this is for you today, all right? All right, if your perversion is in self-connection, then fast body things in these 21 days. In other words, food is probably the best way to deny your body and to bring your body into submission to connect with God more. Does that make sense? And then the soul part of you is connect to others. So emotions are typically always connected to somebody else. Soul fasting is important because also within the soul is your feelings. And if you are led constantly by your feelings and your emotions or by somebody else's emotions and somebody else's feelings or somebody else's drama, baby, you are in trouble. And so sometimes we need a soul fast, a soul fasting time of things that are playing on my emotions. For some, it may be redefining relationships this year. Maybe you've had relationships in your life that are pulling you away from God. Listen, nobody, no thing is ever worth jeopardizing your destiny over. If it's a relationship that's pulling you away from God, then today is a good day to start reevaluating relationships and friendships. Amen? And then here's the spirit part, and that's connected to God. And here's the truth, that one of these three are stronger than the other two. And which whenever one is stronger is always going to dominate the other two. The cool thing about fasting is it's a twofer. How many like a good deal? Come on, how many like a good deal? All right, talk to me. And because here it is, when you pray, the prayer part is strengthening your spirit. And when you fast, it's weakening the body and the soul part of you. You with me? And that's the beauty of that, because we can help your spirit grow stronger as you pray and as you fast. Romans chapter 8, write it down somewhere. I don't have time to read it, go into it. But in other words, it talks about the importance of the spirit part of you calling the shots. If your spirit is not calling the shots, your body or soul is. And I'm telling you, if your body is calling the shots, your soul's calling the shots, man, it probably has been a troublesome year. So we need to get the spirit. Are you with me today? The spirit part in control again. We need to get the spirit part of you strong again. And that's why we set forth 21 days of prayer and fasting. Today's day one. And so I want to just be very, very simple in my help to help you with this fast, because it's been awesome. I had many people that came up to me. This is great. This is why I love this church, because a lot of our church is newly saved. And I just love that. And so a lot of families came up and said, "Pastor, we've never fasted before." And I really believe that when you get a hold of this for your life, and maybe you were taught fasting years ago, but I just think this may be a breath of fresh air of what you're looking for. Because a lot of times people go into a fast thinking, "Gosh, gotta wake up for 6 a.m. prayer. What's that pastor thinking? Challenging me to come on a Saturday morning. Now I can't eat, you know." No, Pastor Kyle didn't say you can't eat, all right? So everybody just relax. It's supposed to be enjoyed. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most in these 21 days, is getting as close to Jesus as I can, shutting the world off. Are you with me? So number one, you got to set your objective. And I was doing this week. So you got to come in your fast prepared. Man, I hope this is helping people. I really do. It's just my heart today. It's totally went a different direction today, but I really felt like God wanted me to help us go focused in this fast. And I didn't want to just assume that you knew. I really wanted to make sure I taught this well today. So are you getting it? Okay. All right. And if you're not getting it, just give me the courtesy. All right. But go into this fast prepared, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. All right, so I'm going to give you some examples of objectives of what I'm, and you can take mine. All right, so I'm putting these up on the screen for you. If you want to take a picture of it, you can, because this is going to help. All right, and so this is what I come in with a fast doing with my objectives. First of all, is declaring my dependence on God. Is that the first of the year belongs to God? All right, first of the year, that God, you are my everything, you are my source, you are all that I need. Then is a time when I ask God for forgiveness, because the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you, and he's going to point out some things in your life and my life that we need to make some course adjustments on. And some of you probably already know that. Maybe even sitting here or coming into this year, you just recognize, man, I need to for real make some changes here, and I can't do this without God. Are you with me? So we ask for forgiveness. God, forgive me of those things that hurt you. I'm sorry for that. And then, here we go. Here's what's important, is then we got to refocus on the eternal. Refocus. You know, we're coming out of one of the most self-indulgent seasons of the year. We eat and spend more than we ever do the rest of the year. It's true. So we got to focus on what matters. Refocus. Refocus. I constantly just find my life refocusing, refocusing. And then here's one of my favorite parts of setting an objective with God. It's just, man, inviting his presence and just declaring, God, I cannot and I will not go without your presence. Invite the presence of God, because I want to be close to you. I want to be as close to you as I can. And then believe God for answers to specific needs. So leave that up there for just a minute, team. I see some people writing it down, which is great. Take pictures if it's easier. But this last one, today, this afternoon, tonight, maybe before you go to bed, husbands and wives, maybe together. When's the last time maybe you did something like this together? And write out things you're praying for and believing for. And so this is what I did this week. I wrote out in my journal things I'm personally believing for my life, my family. Then I had a whole nother kind of little bit of a section for you. What I'm believing God for your families. what I'm believing God for our church and what we want to see. And it was so funny. I got up from my desk and I started just pacing and praying a little bit and just walking and pacing and praying. And the Holy Spirit literally just said this to me. He said, "Is that it?" Ooh. I mean, I don't know how God talks to you, but he always talks to me real just blunt, like get it together. You know what I mean? Like, it just was funny. I was like, "Oh, Lord, I thought that was a pretty good list." And I just heard him say it again. "Is that it?" I said, well, no, what you want? And he said, "Dream bigger, even bigger." I said, "Well, you ain't got to tell me twice. I thought it was big." So I went back to my desk, and I wrote out some more. And I thought, "God, is that good?" "It's good." That's all I heard. And so I'm just saying, dream big in 2018. That'll set you up for years to come. Anybody with me today? Then number two, decide what type of fast you're going to do. Here, got your back. Here we go. For everybody, maybe this is new for you. On your way out in the hallways, our team's going to be handing these out. If you've never did a fast or you just want to maybe just kind of come in and look at some of the other fasts that are available, it's in here. We've made it very simple for you just to open this up and look at all the different types of fasts. There's one of the fasts is, of course, food fast. It's a lot of what I do. That's the one that I feel like I always need the most. And sometimes I also do entertainment. For some, maybe it's shutting down social media. My God, the world may end, but you'll be okay. All right? Let God speak to you. So just go in here. Take your time. I encourage you to do it today while it's fresh. Go into these 21 days. Come on, knowing where you're going. And we're going to be helping. Get on our social media. Like Facebook if you haven't with us. We're going to share some stuff through the days. And just to encourage you through this fast, I may be doing some videos through it. So, man, find me on there. Find the church page. All right, just to keep you encouraged with it. And then number three, expect results. Come on, somebody shout expectancy. Come on, shout it again. Expectancy. Expect results. Something is happening, man. Something is moving. And I pray you sense it. And I've just put on my seatbelt for 2018 because, man, I'm ready. I want everything God has. I'm desperate for him. You can expect results. I'm going to end with this verse of scripture. This is actually a fasting chapter. You can go read on your own later if you want. But out of this time of fasting in Isaiah 58, God promised three things that would come out of the fast. I want to quickly give it to you. You ready? There's three thens. Three thens. This is so good. God said, then your light. Again, this is after the fast. You can expect these things and declare these things. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing. God promises you healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, meaning God's going to make you holy. He's going to put you in right standing again. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Everybody say answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. I don't know about you, but I want the help of God in my life. Those are the three things: healing, righteousness, and answer. Come on, bow your head right where you're at. I think it's a great time to pray. Lord, we thank you for this word today. Lord, I truly believe in my heart. I truly believe that you are speaking to us, challenging us. And Lord, right now, I'm just asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we focus on you. God, that we hear from you. And that you prepare us for these next 21 days. And so, God, we just set our expectancy for what you're going to do, what you're going to say. And God, prayer isn't just about changing things. It's about changing us. And as a church, we just declare we want to be as close to you as we can. God, help us to rid away of the distractions and the excuses. And help us in 2018, more than ever to move towards your purpose again. It's a new day. Somebody just needs to hear that it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Fresh start, new opportunity. No more waiting around. Come on, dive in with what God is saying to you and be obedient to it. In the name of Jesus, all over this place, with every head bound, all eyes closed, can't think of a better way to begin the new year than committing our lives to Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity before you leave right here. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But right there in your, where you're seated, if you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I need a fresh start. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand where you're at. I'm going to count to three and just raise it where you're at, and then you can put it back down. But for some of us, we may need to even make a recommitment to God and saying, God, I've done my own thing, but I'm running back to you today. Come on, all over this place, on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, real high, say amen, amen, all over this place. Incredible, 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 incredible. Proud of all you guys, incredible. Wow, yeah, 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 yeah. Brand new people, awesome. Yes, yes, gotcha, awesome, awesome. Yep, got you in the back, praise God. Yes, ma'am, gotcha, awesome. Gotcha, gotcha, ma'am, yeah. Incredible. Come on, let's pray this prayer together, church, with them. And if you raise your hand, just, man, just release this out of your mouth. Just speak this. I'm going to lead you in this prayer and just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Thank you for loving me. Lord, my life is not my own. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hang on just a second, man. We had a lot of people that responded. Before we clap, move around. Listen, your connection card, we want to help you. All right there in your connection card, just there's a box there at the bottom that says, I've committed my life to Christ or recommitted. Man, would you check that? And then this week, I'm going to get some resources in the mail to you to help you journey this out with God after the most incredible, important decision you just ever made. And we're proud of you. Come on, church, are we proud of him? Come on, let's put our hands together, amen? Come on, church, yeah.